Hello, Hilary Harper jumping into ABC Rewind to bring you an extraordinary tale about one family's surprise discovery of its buried history. Producer Annika Blau knew she had a German surname and that her family was connected to the famous perfume 4711, the oldest cologne in the world. But that was about it, until one day, while Googling her surname, Annika stumbled across something strange. A man in Sydney was touring an exhibition of letters and postcards written by her relatives. How on earth did this stranger come to have her family's archives? And why was it on show? After weeks of cold calling, Annika finally convinced Paul Storm to meet her. Here's Annika Blau with the buried tea chest.
I'm arriving at Paul Storm's house. I don't know this man, but he somehow has a lot of information about my family, including personal correspondence that's over 100 years old. None of my family knew this, and none of us have ever met him. So I rock up to what looks like an ordinary brick cottage in Sydney's northern suburbs, but when I step inside, it's anything but.
There are clocks in every room in the house, and the one sort of clock that was missing was a cuckoo clock. And this one turned up about 2 years ago, and it's sort of finished my row of clocks around the house.
Paul Storm is a collector, and his house is a treasure trove.
That's how you wind it, you pull the weights up.
It's not just the multiple clocks in each room. Every wall and every surface is covered in Paul's collections. I'd never seen stained glass in every window of a suburban home, but Paul's house was a first for everything. And laid out across the dining room table was Paul's most prized collection of all, my family's mail. My eyes were drawn to the name on an antique postcard. It was the name of my great-great-grandfather, Julius Blau.
That was a card sent to Julius. And it's addressed Vienna, 11th of January, 1898. Dear Mr. Blau, my hearty congratulations for your elevation to 4711.
That's 4711, the oldest cologne in the world. My family worked as agents for the German perfume.
That's early for a picture postcard. The address in Budapest... Not in Hungarian, but in German.
Now I know where they lived.
It means Eagle Street.
I was confused. An address in Budapest? Were my family actually Hungarian? And how did this postcard end up here? Well, about 30 years ago, Paul says he had a call from his friend Gary, a stamp dealer who ran an auction house in Sydney's West.
So I can't remember exactly how it happened, but anyway, he invited me to help him sort this stuff out. And his version of the story was it was a young fella came to him with two tea chests, and the material was just cluttered and stuffed into them, some of it in very bad condition.
Gary had just purchased two tea chests of very old mail from a tradie, who had found them under a house he was demolishing.
And he bought the whole lot outright. The guy then, I think he got something like $20,000 for it. This is 1990 or something. And he chucked his job in and set himself up as a cleaning business.
So the tradie took home enough cash for a house deposit, but it was small change compared with what Gary reckoned he could make from these shabby chests. I've heard the contents ended up fetching around $500,000, probably more than the value of the home itself. So what was in the chests?
It was a hoard of very mixed material, some of it very personal of the family, and a lot of commercial mail, and this was all 100 years old. Some of the most extraordinary locations.
Paul very quickly found out what the name Blau represented. Exotic travel, 4711 perfume, high society Sydney, and political intrigue.
And in amongst it, there was a lot of mail out of military camps.
It wasn't just rare stamps and Blau family letters. There was also mail that reflected a part of Australia's war history we've tried to forget.
mail out of prisoner of war camps.
And personal history that my family tried to forget. This story was getting more intriguing. The rare stamps and letters were auctioned off in the early 1990s, and the Blau Hall, as it was soon called, was declared to be one of the most important finds in Commonwealth postal history.
All of Sydney was abuzz. Oh, all of Sydney knew this was on. I mean, I'm a bucket mouth.
Well, not everyone, but definitely the antique dealers. And it was collected by Julius's son, my great-grandfather, Oscar Blau.
By the time Gary was up to sale number 3 of material, all the world knew about the Blau collection, and the Blau material was going all over. The bids were coming hot and strong, and they were bringing hundreds of dollars per item.
And my family had no idea this was happening. You may be wondering why Paul or Gary didn't try to find a Blau in Sydney. Well, Paul did start to search, but said he didn't have much luck. And anyway, the tea chests were officially the property of the auctioneer. Most of the stamps and letters were then sold, but Paul Storm chose to keep some personal correspondence between my family members. He liked old mail from exotic places.
They travelled widely, and they must have been brave to go to the places that they went to. And here's the best traveller in all the world is Julius.
My great-great-grandfather Julius Blau was travelling the world at the turn of the last century, flogging the famous perfume with his sons Oscar and Robert.
He regularly would get on a boat in Vienna or Budapest, and he'd go down the Danube, and he'd finish up in Constantinople, so Istanbul. But New Guinea, in 1900, who would want 4711? And he got to places like Murray Island. Now, Murray Island is the island in the Torres Strait between Queensland and Papua. It's the island where Eddie Mabo came from. And in 1900, you can't imagine that were more than 10 people that would have even thought of even vaguely using something like 4711. But he got there, and he got to Fanning Island in the Gilbert Islands, way out in the Pacific. So I think a lot of the time he was travelling for his own pleasure as well as selling. They were such extraordinary places. And any mail out of those places that survived is just so scarce. Madagascar on the coast of Africa.
Wow, he really went everywhere.
And inland Zanzibar, would you please? They certainly were adventurers.
So, with all these intimate Blau postcards and letters, how seriously did Paul try to find any Sydney descendants? Back in the 90s, Paul located Julius's granddaughter Vilma Blau, a great aunt I didn't know, thanks to a family falling out about who inherited the perfume license. Vilma, in her 60s then, was in shock after Paul's surprise visit to her at work. She went straight to her family with the news.
My aunt said, "I've had the strangest thing happen to me today."
That's Vilma's niece, Kim, who I didn't know existed until Paul introduced us.
And I said, "What happened?" And she said, "A man came in to the office. I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen him before, and I assumed that he was someone who was trying to talk to me about business. And he said, 'No, I've actually come on another matter. I have some things of yours.'" And immediately she said I was taken aback. What was hard for her was this man produced a very old letter and passed it across the desk to her. And she said, "I just drew in my breath and I was so taken aback because there was my grandfather's handwriting, and it was a letter addressed to my father, and my father died in the 50s, and this letter was much older than that, and it really shocked me," she said.
the envelope had a little picture of the hotel on the front, and she looked at it and she said, "My daddy taught me to dance in that hotel."
It was a letter almost from the grave.
Vilma's father was Robert Blau and her grandfather was Julius. At the time, Vilma didn't want anything to do with Paul Storm and his letters. But when I finally got in touch, Vilma had just died. Paul figured he might have better luck with the younger generation, so he invited Vilma's niece Kim to his quirky cottage, and we instantly clicked. We soon realised we'd inherited different versions of our family history. So we decided to get the story straight. At the turn of last century, our relatives were living the European high life. They were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, with business connections in Germany. And Patriarch Julius Blau was travelling the world, making a small fortune from his 4711 perfume deals. Kim's aunt Vilma would often tell her about her grandfather.
My aunt always described him as very jovial and incredibly happy sort of man. Little, in a Hamburg hat, who smoked cigars, was impeccably dressed. Never seen out of a suit coat and waistcoat and a fob chain and watch, and very dapper. An early adapter too of new things, like so he has a car. He loves all of those sorts of trappings of modernity and respectability.
And he'd make sure he was always in the right social circles. On one of his business trips to Sydney, he befriended another canny merchant, Sir Samuel Horden. Julius was complaining about life in Europe, so Horden suggested he bring the family here. So in 1908, he did. There may have been other reasons for leaving Europe. Religious tensions were rising and the drums of war were beating.
He knew that things were bad and going to get worse in Europe. And so where was the furthest place he could go? And Australia was it. And it was a conscious decision to come to Australia, not America or any other place. He came first and then his wife and all the kids.
Julius and his wife Bertha set up in a large house in Bellevue Hill with their two daughters and three sons and immediately got to work on Sydney's high society. They holidayed at the newly opened Hydro Majestic Hotel, hosted weekly lunches and sought the most eligible matches for their children.
One of the fairest and most popular of our society girls, Miss Ella Blau, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Julius Blau, is to be wed to the well-known barrister, singer...
And the wedding bells kept ringing.
A marriage has been arranged between Mr. Robert Blau, second son of Mr. and Mrs. Julius Blau of Bellevue Hill, and Miss Foley of Balmain, one of the smartest and prettiest of Sydney's girls. The Blau family appear to be the most...
Smart and pretty Rita Foley was Kim's grandmother.
Rita Foley was an heiress of the Foley's butter family, and they had dairies and butter all the way up and down the east coast of Australia. So she was a very wealthy woman, and Robert was a sort of exotic European type of bachelor.
The Blau family was on a charm offensive, and within a couple of years, they'd become darlings of the Sydney social set. In an elaborate PR stunt, they even donated over 100 bottles of 4711 Eau de Cologne to the quarantine station at Manly. And then suddenly, they were the enemy. It was 1914, and the Great War had reached Australia. And the Blaus, being Hungarian, were on the wrong side. And they were working for a famous German company. It was now very awkward.
As soon as the war broke out in August 1914, all around the world, all the aliens were immediately locked up, the males.
Collector Paul Storm realised from the hall what had happened to my family.
The Germans, the Austrians, the Hungarians were all immediately locked up. We worked out from the mail that Oscar and Julius, so father and son, as enemy aliens when the First World War broke out, had been interned, that is, became prisoners of war. So they're not soldiers, they're civilian prisoners.
It was in this internment camp that Oscar collected the correspondence from fellow prisoners that made the tea chests so valuable. But both Kim and I wondered how the well-respected businessmen Julius and Oscar landed behind bars. We sensed there may be more to it. So next stop, the National Archives, to see if we could find some answers. The Australian Federal Police files on the Blaus were enormous. They contained intimate details about our family. Like this on Oscar Blau.
Had brown eyes, 5'9½", his brown hair. Tattoo on left forearm of a dragon.
Of a dragon.
Good Lord.
Dragon tattoos in 1917.
Yeah, unbelievable. The surveillance. Yeah. It's the state. This surveillance was not just by the state, it's by ordinary citizens as well.
The files reveal that neighbourhood surveillance started long before Julius and Oscar were interned. And some of these tip-offs came from their closest friends.
I do not wish to be an alarmist, but as the two Blau sons, Oscar and Robert, are Austrian cavalry officers, there is a natural suspicion. And this is the great letter from this snooping neighbour, a Mr.
Hundreds of Australians born abroad landed in internment camps due to letters like these.
I do not say that the wireless is being used there, but a connection could quickly be made there at night.
So they've drawn the streets and they've put an X that says Blau's old house standing among trees.
But when it came to our family, those letters initially fell on deaf ears. But then we found the documents that revealed the tipping point, where Julius did something unforgivable.
So shortly after the outbreak of the said war, the New South Wales stocks of the said 4711 eau de cologne became practically exhausted, and on or about the 16th day of January 1915, Julius Blau obtained permission from the Commonwealth of Australia to visit America for the purposes of obtaining plant for the manufacture of perfume.
Aliens like Julius aren't supposed to leave the country during the war, but apparently he sweet-talks the Attorney General, Billy Hughes. Julius says he'll stop importing the German 4711 perfume and instead manufacture it in Australia, creating jobs. But first, he needs to go to America to find a skilled chemist and source ingredients. The Defence Department, however, intercept a telegram that suggests this might not be Julius's real motive.
The telegram saying from the Germans, "Can't wait till you get to New York."
We're happy to see you. Even though he's been expressly told he cannot
meet with any Germans.
Any enemies.
Defence tells the government that instead of letting Julius go to America, it should charge him with attempting to trade with the enemy. But Billy Hughes sides with Julius and lets him go.
The question is on every lip. What is the mysterious political pull which Julius Blau, the alien enemy, has over the patriot, W.M. Hughes?
The military commander is so alarmed that he personally goes down to the port to try to stop Julius boarding the ship. But nothing stops the determined Julius.
The oceanic mail steamer Sonoma, Mr. Julius Blau of 4711 Cologne fame, was a passenger visiting America by special permission of the Commonwealth government.
But what Julius doesn't know is that there are spies following him. And that's a problem, because he's meeting Germans from 4711. They've got a plan to sell the perfume in disguise.
the perfume will be produced in America and stamped made in America, therefore making it okay, but the ingredients are from Germany. It's an elaborate scheme.
And for a few months, the scheme works. But then Julius's dodgy labels are revealed. The incident becomes a big scandal. The opposition seizes on the fact that Billy Hughes let Julius leave the country against the advice of the Defence Department. And Sydney laps it up.
Had the then Minister of Defence been a man instead of a spineless lackey, Blau would have been arrested on the eve of his departure.
The heat is on the government and it's hurting Billy Hughes' political aspirations. 2 weeks before Hughes becomes Prime Minister, Julius Blau and Sons is declared an enemy firm, its assets seized. Then, on Christmas Eve, the government announces it's interned Julius and Oscar, probably to lift the morale of families spending their first Christmas with their men fighting abroad.
7-Eleven eau de cologne fame was interned last Monday with his son, Mr. Oscar Blau. The question has been widely asked, why was this step not taken a year ago? The answer given is, better late than never.
Julius and Oscar become government war trophies. The locking up of high-profile aliens was intended to scare others into line. But the grassroots anti-German leagues lobbied for all enemy aliens to be interned, including Oscar's brother Robert, Kim's grandfather.
Robert Blau has been seen recently in Sydney driving a well-equipped motor car, whose number has apparently been changed from 4711 to 4511. It would be interesting to know what influence secured the number 4711 and why this enemy subject still lives in luxury.
And while Robert escaped internment, the Blau family name had been tarnished. Soon after, Robert and his heiress wife Rita Foley divorced. And in court, she cited irreconcilable political differences. Kim now understood her Aunt Vilma's reticence in talking about the Blau's wartime history and what happened to her uncle and grandfather.
Somehow, in the late 70s, the story of the internment camp came out. She knew it, but she was cross. You know, it was like, oh, well, don't, do we have to go there? She was quite flustered by it. Yeah, you know, yeah. So what? And as a young child, I think she deeply understood the shame of this. And so the story I get is of the jolly grandfather. I don't get any of the dirt, but my gut tells me there's more to this story. And that whole internment for her generation was embarrassing and marked that family as different, as dangerous aliens. And they were doing everything that they could to be respectable business people.
Holsworthy Camp at Liverpool on Sydney's outskirts was known as one of Australia's harshest internment camps. While in the camp, the Blau's lawyers put together their defence of charges of attempting to trade with the enemy. But they also had another concern. See, 4711 was made with a secret recipe. The miracle water was originally a drink, but when Napoleon ruled that all tonics had to list their ingredients, it became a perfume to avoid that.
It's a bit like getting the secret recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken.
A century on, there was a new threat to this secret recipe, as we found out at the National Archives.
This one is saying, we would remind you of your promise to our clients to seal up and not remove the secret formula for 4711 perfume.
The recipe.
The secret recipe.
Somewhere in those papers, there must be the recipe for 4711.
Maybe it's in this box.
While their lawyers were fighting for the preservation of the secret recipe and Julius and Oscar's freedom, their wives were also pleading for their release. But the official response was disheartening.
Blau's release would, in view of the fact that he attempted to trade with the enemy, create a great feeling of suspicion among the public, and for this reason it is not recommended that the application be granted.
So public anxiety won out. The father and son spent the next 4 years behind barbed wire. To cope with the boredom, my great-grandfather Oscar began collecting stamps from other prisoners' letters. And nearly 100 years later, this hobby of his turned out to have been extremely lucrative. This is what caught collector Paul Storm's eye when he looked inside those tea chests.
Philatelically, it's postal history and it's history. And military mail and prisoner of war is popular. Wouldn't be as rare as Titanic mail or as valuable, but you would tumble over, you would get run down in the rush. So there's Julius and Oscar clearly pestering all their associates in the Liverpool camp for their mail. And there it is in the tea chest.
This mail haul led me to Paul Storm's house, but its revelation has only skimmed the surface of our family story. I want to know more about my relative's wartime experience and what really happened to split the family apart. But as I keep digging, I find out that the mail, the internment camp and 4711 are just the beginning of my family's secrets.
And the revelations keep coming. In our next episode, Annika makes a bombshell discovery and learns just why all the letters might have been hidden under a house nearly 100 years ago.
It turns out that the internment experience wasn't our only family secret.
Bankruptcy. Liabilities amounting to £24,109 were included in the statement of affairs of Oscar Blau.
Well-known department store maverick Mark Foy took him to the bankruptcy court. Oscar's resulting loss also sent his father Julius bankrupt again.
I gave my son some money, and then he got into trouble, and I sent him some more money. Then came the depression, and the creditors were on me like a pack of wolves.
When the embarrassing news of Julius's bankruptcy reached 4711 in Germany, the perfume license was transferred from Julius to his second son, Robert, Kim's grandfather.
The Buried Tea Chest was written by Annika Blau. The sound engineer was John Jacobs, and the producer was Ros Blewett. This is Rewind on ABC Radio National.